As I said before, dear brothers and sisters, tonight's sermon is based on Genesis chapter 32, where Jacob wrestles with God. It's called Walking with a Limp. Let's pray. God, thank you that we have encountered you and that you have encountered us. Please help us by opening our hearts, my lips to speak your word, and our hearts to hear and to believe your promises and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 32 is a very weird story. That's what I think when I read it. You may agree with me, you may not, that's okay. It's a strange story because nothing happens quite like it is meant to. Nothing is really expected in what goes on as Jacob wrestles with God in Genesis 32. There are only two characters. One of them is Jacob. His name means cheat, trickster. Not a very good start in life, really, to be called that by your mum, the cheat. Imagine going through life with a name like that. Jacob is one of the slimiest characters in all of Scripture. He is, as his name suggests, a cheat, a liar, a trickster. He has tricked his brother out of both his birthright and his blessing from his father. He has tricked his uncle out of all of his flocks and herds. He's not generally a very nice person. On the other hand, Jacob is also beloved by God. He is the one through whom God has promised to bless the whole human race. And he's the one who is protected by God. Jacob is a slimy sneak. Jacob is loved and protected by God. That's the first paradox, the first unexpected thing within this story in Genesis 32. As the story goes, Jacob is returning home to his promised homeland after an absence of 20 years where he's been running away from his brother Esau. The last time Esau saw Jacob, he swore that he would kill him the next time he set eyes on him. Now, 20 years is a long time to hold a grudge, but some people seem to be able to do it. And so Jacob is worried that Esau is still mad at him. He's always on the run. He's always running from something, always trying to escape or trick or connive his way into a better situation. Jacob always thinks of number one first. So what does he do? He sends his wives and his children and his servants and his livestock on ahead of him to the other side of the stream where Esau may meet them with 400 armed men, and Jacob stays back alone. Alone. But as he does that, everything is stripped away. Everything that he's tried to put his success and identity and security in over the last 20 years is no longer there with him. Who are you when you're alone? Who are you when everything that you've relied on is stripped away? I read a very intriguing article in The Age Online this week. And there was an experiment that was done by a group of psychologists who put people in a room by themselves, alone with no technology, just to see what would happen in our hyper-connected world. They found that people, between 6 minutes and 15 minutes in being alone in a room with no connections, started self-administering electric shocks. Weird, because we cannot handle being alone. We always place things around us to give us security and comfort. But when all that is taken away, what is left? It's not surprising that we wrestle with God when we are alone. And that's exactly what happens with Jacob. And this is where the second character character in the story comes in. A mysterious character, half seen and half recognized in the darkness by the riverbank, somehow familiar, but Jacob can't quite put his finger on who this is. As the two of them wrestle with each other, neither of them can gain an advantage. Now, that's another unexpected thing, and I'll get back to that a bit later. But as dawn begins to rise, the stranger simply touches Jacob on the hip, and his hip is wrenched out of joint. There is untold power in that touch, and Jacob begins to get a sneaking suspicion of who it is that he has been wrestling with. He hangs on to the stranger for dear life. "Let me go," the stranger says. "Not until you bless me," Jacob insists. Now, Jacob has made a living out of squeezing blessings out of people, whether honestly or dishonestly. But then the revelation comes. The stranger renames Jacob. He gives him a new identity. "You will no longer be called Jacob, the cheat, the liar, the trickster, but you will be called Israel," which means wrestles with God, "because you have struggled with God and with men, and you have overcome. No longer will you be defined by your past," the stranger is saying. "That is all gone. Now you have a new identity." Somehow Jacob has been wrestling with God himself. He can only exclaim in wonder, "I have seen the face of God, and I am still alive." And so, with the blessing of God himself, with a new name that will shape not only his destiny, but the future of the whole world, Jacob strides off confidently into the sunrise to boldly face his future. Except, that's not how the story goes, is it? Jacob, the one blessed by God, limps off into his future. Limps off. What sort of God is this who blesses Jacob and transforms him and leaves him limping? It's a strange story. Nothing seems quite as it should be. Perhaps one of the strangest parts is that Jacob's story has resonances with our own story. Limping? Which of us is limping? Which of us is not limping? The limp may take different forms for every one of us. This morning I preached at Lilydale in Croydon at Outer Eastern Lutheran Church, and there were many more older people there than there are in the congregation here tonight. And so for many of them, the limp is indeed a physical thing. But even for us, in our community, our limp can be a physical one too, can't it? We can struggle with disease or illness. We can struggle with our health, our wholeness. For some, the limp is mental, held in the dark by depression, despairing at the lostness of a loved one, grieving over a lost or broken relationship. But for all of us, the limp is spiritual. We may be filled with repugnance at a sin that we hate, but just cannot conquer, or caught between doubt and faith, hardly daring to hope in a God who is often half seen in the darkness, if we can see him at all, looking around anxiously at others, wondering if they face the same kind of doubts and fears that we do. It does seem that often we wrestle with God alone. Blessed but limping? Is that really the way that God works in us? Doesn't God simply want the best for us? then why didn't he heal Jacob's limp? Why didn't he heal my limp? Your limp? Jacob's story invites us into a transformed understanding of suffering. Perhaps as Jacob limped into his future, he grimaced at the pain in his hip. Perhaps as he grimaced, it turned into a grin as he remembered that he had encountered God and was still alive. God, who had spared his life and renamed him and forgiven him and blessed him. You see, a Jacob who's not limping is a Jacob who has not yet encountered God. A Jacob who is not limping is a Jacob who has not yet received God's blessing. You and I have encountered God. We are both damaged and blessed. We walk with a limp. The fact that you have a disability or a pain or a sorrow in your life is neither curse nor punishment from God, but a reminder of the truth that you have encountered God himself. I've talked to a number of people who are involved in Christian ministry, and my own experience is somewhat similar. And people who have encountered sickness or suffering in the midst of Christian ministry. And many of them have said, that was God's wake-up call to me to say, listen very carefully. You don't have the strength. You can't do it on your own. You need to rely on me. Only those who recognize their sickness need a doctor. Only those who recognize their sin need a savior. God's blessing and presence in our lives is not confined only to the good bits. Do we dare to believe that God has blessed our whole existence, our brokenness and our pain, as well as our wholeness and our strength? When we encounter suffering, we can go in one of two directions. We can focus on the pain, we can focus on the hurt, we can focus on ourselves, and we can turn inwards and despair. Or we can use our suffering as a gracious gift from God to turn our eyes to God's own suffering. You see, God comes to us through weakness and suffering. The strangest thing about this story is that it's not only Jacob's story and that it has resonances with ours, but it's also God's story. Wouldn't you think that if God appeared as a human being, he would be the most strong, powerful, and handsome person that you ever saw? And yet when he comes to Jacob, he comes in a form that Jacob can grab and wrestle with and even defeat. When God comes to encounter us, he chooses to come in weakness, not in strength. To be despised and rejected, mocked and beaten, flogged and spat upon. God comes in a form that we sinful human beings can grab and wrestle with and even defeat. In a person that we sinful human beings can nail to a cross. It's strange but true. God will not beat us at our own power games. He chooses to work through the foolishness and weakness of the cross of Jesus. And in that defeat wins the greatest victory of all and gives us the blessing of forgiveness and new life. When Jacob encounters God, he's wounded and walks with a limp. When we encounter God, we recognize that God blesses even our brokenness through Jesus. Blesses all of us, not just the nice bits. And when God encounters us, he lets himself be beaten, lets himself be broken, twisted, scarred for life. He comes not as the victorious, all-powerful, conquering God, but as the suffering, dying, rising God in Jesus Christ. And this is the deep mystery of Christian suffering. Suffering is not a curse from God. It's often the most profound part of our encounter with God. For God himself has suffered on our behalf. God dares to come to us in a frail human form that we can grab and grasp and even defeat. When we're suffering, we're closest to the heart of God, who himself has gone through ultimate suffering and death for our sake. Yes, we walk with a limp, but our limp cannot be separated from our encounter with God. We actually get to share in Christ's sufferings and then in his glory, his resurrection, his new life. And most importantly, God has encountered us. Jacob's story is similar to God's story. God didn't come out of it with just a limp, but rather with death and with new life for us. And now may the God of peace, who suffers with you and for you, give you peace as you walk with a limp and a blessing. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, keep your heart, your mind, and your body in Christ Jesus, our Lord.